a show that travels America to bring you the voice of the people. Thanks to the makers of the Emerson Drug Company, in cooperation with the drug, cosmetic, and allied industries, is devoting tonight's entire program to the government's woman power campaign. Vox Pop has traveled here to the Wichita Boeing airplane plant. And now, Parks Johnson and Warren Hull. Come in, Wichita, Kansas.
This is Parks Johnson.
And this is Warren Hull.
And that's that B-29 you folks have been hearing so much about.
And these are the people who build them.
Folks, thousands of Boeing Airplane Company employees are in this big Wichita forum. Other thousands of the second shift are in the plant now, building those beautiful, deadly, marvelous B-29s.
Yes, Parks, and did you know the KFH here in Wichita will rebroadcast this program at 5:30 tomorrow morning, just so the second shift can hear it and not miss a minute from work tonight?
That's swell. That's a half an hour before they're supposed to open up. I think that's marvelous. Now, before meeting these Boeing B-29 builders, just a word about this big headache for Hirohito. The B-29 carries the greatest load farther, faster, and higher than any other plane in existence.
Yes, folks, it's almost beyond description. But this you will get from the folks who build the B-29. That Japan is their assignment, and they mean to stay on the job until Japan is finished. Now, who's first, Park?
Warren, here we go from the airplane industry capital of America, Wichita, Kansas. And our first Boeing employee is a real live wire, all 98 pounds of him. He looks 50, he says he's 66, and I still don't believe it. He's worked with machines all his life, and I'm told that he chews iron instead of gum.
Well, I don't know. Maybe he does.
Next to his country and his family, I think he loves the Boeing B-29. But I'm wasting his time. Folks from Glasgow, Kansas, Edward Bernard. Pap, you get right in front of this thing now.
What?
I'll stay on the underside and you talk in the front. Why do they all call you Pappy?
Well, at the time that started, I was the oldest guy out there.
Uh-huh. You're not now?
No. Not now, no.
Not now. Say, Pappy, did you ever weigh as much as 100?
One time.
Really?
What yes. happened? I was still single. I went to 107.
Oh, man. So you're married?
Yes, sir. Very much married.
Very much?
Yes, sir. 208 pounds.
Really?
Yes, sir.
Well, look, Pap, a fellow that's 98 and 208, can a fellow your size ever be boss in the house?
I tried it once, and I thought it wasn't a very good plan.
Where's the missus right now?
She's at Glasgow.
Glasgow, okay. Yes. Well, I hope she's listening. Tell me, what's your job out at Boeing?
I'd actually tell her too much, huh?
Well, no.
Well, but I'm just on a little 10-inch Monarch precision machine.
Oh, that, what doing?
Oh, everything. Making punches and bolts and bore-siding bushings.
Bore-siding.
And dimpling tools. Not the kind that puts dimples in the girl's
No, teeth. No, not that. I told you he wasn't 66.
And... Oh, there's any number of
things. I hear that you made some of the first bore sacking tools made out there. Fixed an expert on that, did you?
No, not the first one. They made three sets before I tied into them.
Uh-huh. Did you have any luck? Did they turn any down on you?
Three of them.
Why?
Well, you just wouldn't cut the buck.
Well, what'd you do?
Well, I used to give them to the inspector and told him. I said, now you take these over and try them. And if they'll prove all right, come back and let me know how many. You got five of them. It was okay.
Mm-hmm.
Says these three won't go.
Yeah?
I can't call his name, and I'm glad I can't.
Yeah.
Because he might get at me. Anyway, I said, take these three, bring the three back that you wouldn't check. He brought them back, and I went over them again.
Yeah?
Now, I said, I'd like to have you take these three back and check them again.
Uh-huh.
Which he did.
Yeah?
Come back, and he said, Pap, what did you do? I said, when? He said, within with the three.
Yeah?
Well, I said, in Robert's book of rules, it comes under the head of my business.
We're not
so
going
I told him.
Uh-huh.
He said, well, there were better. Those three was better than the first five. Well, yes. I said, bring the other five back.
That's the stuff. Now, that's the way to make stuff perfect, isn't it? Pap, I'd like to ask you one thing.
I've got to say that. My boss is sitting right over there.
Well, let me ask you one thing. I hear that when the first Boeing Wichita plane, B-29, went up. Huh?
Yes, sir.
I hear they made some bets as to whether or not it would fly. Did you make a bet on it?
Yes, sir, I did.
What was your bet?
I'd bet a fella, they was all talking.
Yeah, what'd you bet?
I'd bet him $10 that if it'd fly, it'd fly backwards. And that was Bill Shawner.
But, Bobby, you're going to stick the machine till we lick the pen.
You'll try to.
I know, and that's Kurt. Let me tell you, I want to say something right there. That's Kurt. All out the country is going to shorten this war, and you will get an honorable discharge for sticking to your job until it's through.
You know that old kiss to my mama?
Oh, yes, and now, there you are. Now, our scouts out there told Bromo Seltzer that one or two things that you would like to have. First of all, as a lover of good music, knowing Lily Pons is coming here very shortly in a concert, a couple of tickets so you can enjoy her music. For Ms. Bernard, a lovely blue all-wool and warm house robe. And to finish that bathroom, which is not quite finished, we have you a brand new swell bathtub. Can we bring it out? Where is it? You like it, Pat?
Look at it. Yeah, there it is.
Brand new one. How is it, boy?
All right. Thank you a lot. That'd be okay.
That is Bernard. All right, Warren, huh?
You know, folks, almost half the working force at Boeing are women. And we want you to meet one of that great army who, with their own hands, are helping to bomb Japan. She's a widow with six children, three of her boys in the Navy out in the Pacific. From Wellington, Kansas, Mrs. Florence M. Sharpstein. Say, Mrs. Sharpstein, you've noticed that all the women out there wear slacks. Do you like them?
Well, I should say not.
No? I mean, you figure they're not for you?
No, I figure they're not for my figure.
Oh. Well, Mrs. Sharpstein, your home, Wellington, is sort of down the road a piece, isn't it?
Well, 35 miles.
You mean you commute 70 miles a day?
Yes, I do.
My gosh, I'll bet you get up before breakfast.
Yes, every morning at 4 o'clock.
Well, and you don't like to get up early any better than anybody else, do you?
No, I don't.
Well, if you work 10 hours, that makes sort of a long day, doesn't it?
You said it.
Well, now, how does it compare to a day as a housewife?
Well, when you take care of a family and children and cook and wash dishes and wait on a husband, why, you put in a pretty good day then. The only difference is that you can sit down and darn a sock maybe and listen to Aunt Jenny.
Oh. Well, that's the only difference. So you can listen to Aunt Jenny during the day. Of course, we understand that you're a riveter. Now, tell us what you work on.
A squeeze. A floor squeeze.
You work on a squeeze. Are you good at it?
Well, sure, all women are.
Now, please elucidate. Just what is this squeeze?
Well, it's a machine that squeezes rivets into the material and makes a very smooth job. You don't use compressed air.
Oh, it's not a hammer?
No.
Oh, I see.
Or a gun.
Oh, what part of a B-29 do you squeeze?
The shim.
The shim will go, what is a shim?
Well, the shim goes on the pilot cabin between the frame and the outer skin for insulation and reinforcement.
What is it? Sort of a gasket to keep the pressure in?
Yes.
Well, that's an important part, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Say, do you have any idea where your boys are out there?
Well, in the South Pacific, someplace. One of them is, I think, probably around Guadalcanal, and the other one is on a cruiser, and the other one's on aircraft carrier.
Mm-hmm. You know, Vox Pop has beamed out the Pacific. They might hear you. Is there anything that you'd like to tell them?
Oh, boy, I wish they would. And the only thing I can say is be good and be careful.
That's the best thing a mother could tell him. Well, Mrs. Sharpstein, all who love freedom can thank you who have come from the farms and the homes and the stores to the factories and have wrought these miracles, such as the wonderful B-29. And now for you, to thank you for being with us tonight, Bromo Seltzer has first something to sink into after a hard day. A soft, comfortable barrel chair with a real spring seat. And... you like the looks of that?
Oh, my.
And for the times when you get together with the girls, here's something, too. A green leather-covered bridge table with four folding chairs to match.
Oh, my.
And, wait. To help you with those letters going out to your three sons, you must write an awful lot of them. Here is a fine Eversharp fountain pen, two big boxes of stationery, and 100 airmail stamps.
Oh,
thank you, and good luck to you, Mrs. Florence Johnson.
Folks, tonight Warren and I want to talk directly to you women. And first, we'd like to remind you that the war is nowhere near over.
That's right. Our top military leaders say we'll probably have 2 more years of tough fighting in the Pacific.
Now, here's the point. Weapons being made in the United States right now are scheduled for Pacific use. And the more weapons we can put into that Pacific fight, the sooner the war will be over and our boys will be home.
But there's a very serious danger that our war production may be hampered by manpower shortage. Then we won't have enough weapons for the Pacific fight. Victory will be delayed and more lives lost.
Woman power is the only possible answer. Will you help to hasten victory? Will you take a war job?
And you women are also needed urgently in vital civilian jobs to keep things running on the home front. Now, some of these jobs are light and require no experience. Some are only part-time.
Every one of you women, take another look at your household duties. See if you can't possibly rearrange them to spare some time. Then pay a visit to your local U.S. Employment Service office just to talk things over and see where you're needed. Because you are needed, every one of you women is needed. Needed urgently and immediately. And now... our next Vox Papa is really an aviation old-timer. I notice he's wearing a QB. That means a quiet birdman pin. That's a flyer who is grounded himself, just quit flying. But this quiet birdman had 10,000 hours in the air before he grounded himself. He flew in the World War I, and he's one of the country's top aircraft engineers. There are a few jobs in this huge Boeing B-29 plant that he can't handle. From Tampa, Florida, Edward P. Magici.
You stay in front of him.
Thank you. Mr. Magici, you are rather young to have so much of that aviation experience behind you.
Well, sometimes I feel pretty old, but times I feel real young. I'm old enough to be a grandfather.
Really?
Absolutely.
Shake hands, pal.
Thanks.
You really got grandchildren. Where are they? Here with you?
They're right here in the audience, the wife and daughter and the 2 grandchildren.
Oh, that's fine. Boys, girls, what?
One boy and one girl.
Uh-huh. Well, I'm glad they're right here. I know a fellow can work better when the family's around. What was the aircraft industry like way back in the early days when you started?
Well, none of us knew anything about it. It was more or less guesswork. We didn't know whether a ship would fly or not, so... the best and only way we had of telling was to tie a scale on the back end of it and anchor it to a tree, start up the engine, and if it pulls so many pounds, it's supposed to fly. So that was the engineer's phase.
Imagine that, folks. Gee. Well, these folks out here at Boeing appreciate some of these new workers, what that would mean. That was way back in the old days, but now it's B-29. You'd call it somewhat of an airplane, wouldn't you?
Well, it's hard to believe that anything like that can fly, and years and years ago, why, no one ever thought that an airplane like that would be built.
That's a product of engineering, isn't it?
It's perfect, and the engineers of America is responsible for it.
It's a marvelous
job. It's
just
the best in the world.
And the size of that thing, it knocked my eye out.
Well, it seems impossible for it to fly, but if the old-timers, like I see this...
Mm-hmm.
Just remember back the jobs we flew during the other World War. Why, they just think they've seen angels flying or something, I would imagine.
I know. I wonder if you know about what percent of the Boeing B-29s that are being built are being turned out right here in the Wichita plant.
Well, I hope it isn't a secret, but I know that Boeing Wichita is putting out more planes per month than all other B-29 factories.
That's what I understood. Appreciate your being with us and saying those things that news to us about the B-29. Now, for a little remembrance of the occasion from our sponsor, Bromo Seltzer, we've got, first of all, a very rare gift. It's a package of Lucky Strikes. People all over the country know what I mean. Second, we've got knowing that you're a fisherman and a hunter and that when you get time, you take it, we've got a 9-foot fly rod and a Shakespeare reel. And believe me, those Shakespeare reels are mighty hard to get. How do you like that, all right?
There's the Santa Claus.
All right, now wait a minute. That's not all.
There's the Santa Claus.
Not all. So you can have a little fun and sleep at night instead of on the ground. We've got an air mattress, which is being shipped to you, a brand new one. And wait a minute, Dave, what's next going there? Oh, I know. We used an application which you yourself made, and we featured down to the board, and we bought you that brand new automobile tire that you were thinking about. And there it is.
Oh.
Thank you very much, Mr. McGee.
Okay.
You know, we've been in many airplane factories seeing the planes built, but never anything like this big, beautiful B-29. It really beggars description. No. Oh, wait a minute. I'm not talking about this man. I'm talking about the plane. As an example of its size, you could draw up two of them on a football field side by side, and they'd reach from one goal line to the other with just about room enough between them for this man to stand. That's not far from the truth, because he's about 6'6", too. He's 32 and used to have a hatchery and feed business, and his home right now is in Winfield, Kansas, 50 miles away. And he's one of the hundreds who drive through all kinds of weather the year-round to turn out these B-29s. Glenn R. Adams, better known as Bill. Bill, the weather doesn't stop you, eh?
That's right.
You come through hail and high water, huh?
Yes, that's right, boy.
Say, where can you buy clothes to fit you?
Well, I can't.
Really?
The OPA has passed a regulation that says that the pants manufacturers can't manufacture pants big enough for me. I'm on my last pair right now.
Brother, you're in a bad way.
You're not kidding.
Say, why did you leave your feed and hatchery business to come to work at Bowling?
Well, Warren, I've got two brothers.
Mm-hmm.
They're both in the armed services. I've got a brother that's with Patton in the Third Army in France. Another brother that's with MacArthur in the Philippines.
Mm-hmm. We're sort of interested in both of your brothers right now,
that's
brother.
That's right.
Say, we know that there are two Boeing plants out there. Which one are you from?
Plant one, the small plant.
Yes, well, what do they do there?
Well, we build anything at plant one that's too rough for the boys to take care of down at plant two.
Well, I guess they're both represented here tonight. Say, Bill, what's your job?
I'm an estimator, material estimator.
Material estimator? Yes. Well, is there any particular material that you estimate?
Yes, I'm in charge of the wood, the parts, the lumber, and the plywood that go on the B-29.
Oh, I see. Now, do you have an estimator for each of the other materials, too?
That's right.
I see. Well, is the whole does it work that way on the whole plane?
Yes, everybody has either a part or a few parts that he builds on the plane or puts on the plane.
And they all work together as a team, and that's how such a complicated thing gets built, huh?
That's the answer.
Well, you've never seen a blueprint before.
No.
Well, all you knew was hatch, scratch, and mash.
That's right.
But you're turning out B-29s now. Say, we've heard about the great thrill that you had when the first B-29 you built out there actually took the air. Have there been any others?
Yes. And we got the news that they'd bombed Japan, mainland.
Did you expect any more?
Yes, we're working for one more great thrill. And that's when the boys send 1,000 B-29s over Tokyo.
That'll be the day, brother. You know, you and all the Boeing workers, and by the way, all those working for subcontractors building parts for you, and we mustn't forget those people, are bringing that day closer. Now, thanks, Bill, for the chat. And Bromo Seltzer has for you to give to your wife a crystal salad bowl with 8 plates to match, a silver serving fork and spoon, and a half dozen silver salad forks. Think you'll like them?
Well,
now, wait a minute. And because we heard about your size, and just because you can't buy any ready-made pants big enough, we've gone to the best tailor in town and paid for a suit that he'll make to your order. And to help him in making it, here is a blueprint showing the proper dimensions of the trousers. Thank you. Good luck. Glenn R. Adams.
Thank you.
Part of a large blueprint.
All right, boss. Okay, boy, that's some blueprint. Let's face the facts, ladies. There's a manpower shortage. Woman power is needed to keep war production at its peak. And don't forget, Pacific victory may be long delayed if war production fails.
Yes, women, it's really true. You're needed very urgently, not only in war jobs, but in vital civilian jobs also. Isn't that so, Paul Brenton?
It certainly is. And I'd like to ask you ladies who feel you can't take jobs, what's holding you back? Your health?
Most war jobs are no more strenuous than housework.
Some are actually easier.
Lack of experience?
Some jobs don't require experience. In others, you're paid while training.
Household duties too heavy?
Take another look at your schedule. Many women have rearranged their schedules to take jobs.
Family doesn't need extra income.
Maybe not now, but think of the swell things you can buy after the war with that extra money.
Think it over, ladies, and then listen hard to our educated friends.
Your country needs you. Get a war job, 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 get a war job.
Go to your United States Employment Office tomorrow.
Yes, sir, Paul. I'm back with the Boeing workers here in Wichita. And folks, by the way, I just want to say that we're happy to have a group of veterans from the Veterans Hospital here with us tonight. Fellas, we're mighty glad to have you with us. Now, folks, many of you recall last week when Vox Pop talked with that fine group of blinded soldiers, remember, at Old Farm, Convalescent Hospital in Avon, Connecticut? Well, I know that you got their spirit of independence and self-confidence just as we did. Well, here's a sister of theirs, a young woman who for 2 years has put in 10 hours a day here building Boeing B-29. Folks, from Wichita, Kansas, Mary Scripsy. Mary, you got a lot of friends out there.
Okay.
Yeah, you got a lot of friends out there. Say, do you have any objections, the usual objection to telling your age?
Well, Myrna, she's about 7.
Who's Myrna?
Well, this is my dog.
Oh, there's, you sure, your dog, Myrna. Yes, I see. I'm not going to get anything out of you. Well, Myrna looks 21, 22, or 23, something like that. And we'll have to let her go at that. Mary does. Have you been long out here, Boeing?
Well, I've been out here 2 years.
That was right, wasn't it? 2 years. Well, why did you want to work out there?
Well, I had some cousins in the service, and two of them was in England, and one's a Jack prisoner.
And you felt like you had to do something, huh?
Yes.
Where'd you work before, Mary?
Well, I worked at the Wichita Workshop for the Blind, and then I worked at Coleman Stove Lamp Company for 3.5 months.
Do you like it out here, Boeing?
Oh, I sure do.
What's your job?
Well, I burr.
Burr?
Yes.
Burr, not purr.
Or not gurr, either.
That's smoothing off rough things so that they were absolutely fit.
Yes, after they drill the holes, I smooth them down so they can be riveted. And if they're not burred and they're riveted, they'll come apart in the air.
Uh-huh. And it's an important job. Do you do as well as the fellow next to you?
Well, I guess so. I know they bring back some of their work and make me do it all over again.
That's the stuff. Mary, what do you do for recreation?
Oh, I go to parties and skating and dancing, and I listen to the radio and read.
You've got quite an active life. Parties.
Yeah.
You going to one anytime soon?
Sure, I'm going to Halloween parties.
Uh-huh. You going to cut up?
Oh, sure.
When you go to parties, do you stay out sort of late?
Oh, yeah, I'm the last one to leave.
You make a night of it, eh? Well, do you dance?
Oh, sure.
Going anytime soon?
Well, I believe I am. I'm going to go to a dance right after the party.
I was asking those questions because from good old Bormo Seltzer, we thought you were enjoying parties. We've got some things that we think you can use. First of all, however, though, is a 6-tube cable model push-button radio, which I hope you can...
Oh, gee, that's wild.
Now then, for those parties which we understood you go to and are the life of... First of all, we've got a stunning party dress. It's long, it's red, it's trimmed with rows of what look like...
Gee.
Wait a minute, it looks like gilt hobnailed studs, and you'll knock them cold in that, Mary.
Oh.
And if it doesn't knock them cold, a drop of this Hattie Carnegie's hypnotic perfume will certainly do the job.
Mary,
one more thing. For Myrna, that swell dog of yours, a great big phone we got from the Alice Hotel. There you are, Myrna. Thank you a lot, Mary. Okay. All right, Warren.
Folks, well, there's something exciting coming up now that we didn't expect to have tonight. You know, we've talked to the people who build B-29s, but here are some fellows who've flown one, members of the famous 20th Air Force. They were in the first B-29 raid over Japan.
Japan,
get back here if you can so we can hear you. You know, they just flew in a little while ago, and we got them over here around the microphone, all 11 of them. We're sorry that we don't have time to talk to all of them, but we're going to call a roll, and then if there's time, we're going to talk to one of them. So here goes for the crew of the Mysterious Mistress, no less. From Lexington, Kentucky, Captain Charles S. Jones. Yes. From Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, co-pilot Lieutenant Harold W. Meyer. Yes. From Portland, Oregon, navigator Lieutenant Wayne A. Brunick. Yes. Oh, come on, fellas, you can talk louder than that. They want to hear you way out there. You know, maybe your relatives are listening in. From Schenectady, New York, bombardier Lieutenant Edwin G. Legacy.
Yes.
Good for you. From West Newton, Pennsylvania, flight engineer Richard A. March.
Yes.
From West Pittston, Pennsylvania, radio operator Anthony S. Werbowski.
Yes.
From the Bronx, New York, radio gunner Oscar Papazian.
Yes.
From Quanah, Texas, right gunner Charles R. Coates.
Yes.
From Derry, New Hampshire, left gunner William A. Jensen.
Yes.
From Brooklyn, New York, top gunner Milton Seidman.
Yes.
From Waynesboro, Mississippi, tail gunner Robert F. Waters.
I hear.
There they are, 11 of them. You know, it sounds like a football team, and they are champions. Now, fellas, we do have time only to talk to one. Who'll it be? You're putting the finger on the captain. Well, that's sort of, I guess, Captain, you are the logical guy. So I'll talk to you. You know, when the workers out here at the plant heard the news flashed over their speaker system of that first raid that you fellows made, they tell us that you could have heard them all the way downtown in Wichita. Now, what was it like for you? How did you feel out there?
Well, we were a little bit excited, of course, but just biggest thrill on the mission, as far as that goes, was about 5 minutes before we got to the target.
Mm-hmm.
And we could see the searchlights that were shining on the other planes that were in front of us. And as we got a little closer, well, we could see the flak was bursting all around the plane in front of us, and we were a little bit excited then, sure enough, and we didn't think about home quite a bit. Well, that plane got through, and it was just a matter of a few minutes until the lights were all on us and the flak was bursting around us. But we got through the flak all right, and so did the other plane, so it wasn't so bad after all.
Well, how about the crew? Have you a story to tell about any of them?
Well, I can tell something on my bombardier.
Oh, yeah? All right, go ahead.
Well, before we got to the target...
This is about Legacy, you mean?
Yes, that's right.
Okay, hurry up and tell us fast.
Well, just before we got to a target, we put on all of our... battle garb, our helmets, and our flak vests and everything. And we could pick up the flak and see the flak in front of us. Well, bombardier got a little bit excited, so he starts reaching around and picks up a helmet and puts it on his head, and it's only a matter of a few seconds till he realizes he has two helmets on.
Well, say, we know that the Mysterious Mistress, your plane, was built right here in Wichita. Is there anything you'd like to say to these people who built your plane?
I'd like to tell them I think the 29 is a wonderful airplane. It's the best I've ever flown, and I hope to keep up the good work, and I hope I'm there when they put 1,000 planes over Tokyo.
Thank you, Captain Jones, and all you men. It was swell of you to come over tonight, and you know, it was so late that we couldn't do anything about gifts and bromo seltzer, but we're going to send each of you something we think you'll like. And incidentally, we'd like to do a whole program with you fellows sometime. Thank you very much, all of you, and good luck. It's been a pleasure knowing you. All right, Warren.
Okay, Warren. All right, I sure wish we had a little more time to talk to those wonderful folks in the Boeing Airplane Company. What a magnificent job they're doing. Our hats off to every one of them.
You bet they are, Parks. And it's folks like these that are bringing the day of final victory closer and closer.
Yes, Warren, and men like you have just gotten through talking to, too. But if I'm not mistaken, I think I hear the old Vox Pop plane puffing. Tell the folks outside where we're going next week.
Well, it's to El Centro, California, in the heart of Imperial Valley, right near the Mexican border.
Yes, and I know what's down there, Warren.
Sure, the Marine Park. Only the Marines, that's
well,
all.
Well, that's something I know something about, and we all know what a marvelous gang those Leathernecks are.
Sure, and we'll talk to Marine fighting pilots back from hot and heavy action in the Pacific.
I know there are going to be some exciting stories, Warren, and you be sure to listen, folks, next Monday night. Good night, everybody.
So long, everybody.
Join Vox Pop, the show that travels America next Monday night. Same time, same station, when Parks and Warren visit the United States Marine Corps Air Station, El Centro, California. Friends, your family's health and comfort are vitally dependent on your neighborhood druggist. In war as in peace, he is at your service. But these days, he faces unusual problems. Shortage of manpower, shortage of merchandise. Be patient. Let's all pull together. Your cooperation will best help your druggist to help you. And remember,
fight headache three ways.
Bromo Seltzer, Bromo Seltzer, Bromo Seltzer, Bromo Seltzer, Bromo Seltzer, Bromo Seltzer, Bromo Seltzer.
This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.